Good morning again, community of grace. It's good to be with each and every one of you this morning as one body of believers gathered together to praise our God. Welcome to those of you in the room and those of you watching online as well. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. And we hope that this online experience can be worshipful for you. And if you have any suggestions for us, please let us know. We're always looking for ways to make it a better experience for you online. But it's good to be together this morning as God's people. If you haven't been with us, my name is Andrew Kelly. I'm the Student Ministries and Worship Associate here at Community of Grace, and we've been going through a sermon series called A Calling to New Life, a series in which we've explored and are exploring what it means to be called by God and what we are called to and what Jesus has in store for us. In the first week, we talked about how first we are called to be with Jesus, called to be in relationship with him. And in the second week, last week, we talked about what it means to be called into community together, how we love each other, how we are called to love each other. And this week, we move into what it means to be in relationship with the world around us, how we join Jesus on his mission. But before we get too into it, let's take a moment and let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, good morning. It is so good to be with you. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here in this place. Thank you for your love, your transforming grace. And God, for the new life that you have for each and every one of us. A life with a purpose for this time, this place. And thank you that none of us that are listening are here by accident, but you have a very important purpose for each one of us right here, right now. So Holy Spirit, bring your word. Help us to encounter you, to know it's you. And Lord, would you teach us? Would you teach us? We pray all this in your name. Amen. So if we're talking about God's mission and joining Jesus on mission, we got to first get straight. What is God's mission? What is God's mission? I think, simply put, it can be God's mission is to redeem creation, to win the world back to himself. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of humanity. We see Adam and Eve doing things their own way instead of what God instructed them to do. Because God had one rule: don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve decided, you know what? I think I know better than God. It's just a bite, right? What harm could it do? And don't we all find ourselves in that spot? When God gives us clear direction, when we know that we're not supposed to do that thing, and yet we say to God, Lord, I think I know better. So I'm going to do this anyway. That general thing is called sin. When we know what God expects of us, and yet we choose not to do it, or to do something instead of what God tells us not to do. That's called sin. And that separates us from God, because God is holy. And through the rest of the Old Testament, we see God calling his people back to him. The nation of Israel, please come and listen to me. I have a plan for you and a purpose for you that's better than what you are living right now. Sometimes they come back and they listen. Most of the time they don't. Because you see, as humans, we are helpless on our own. There's no way that we can get to God's level on our own. There's no way that we can obey him on our own. And he recognized that. And he also knew that what we were powerless to do, he was powerful to accomplish. See, God took action. Because we can't save ourselves, but he can. So he sent down the person of Jesus. Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, lived in our sinful world, took on our sinful flesh, and who showed us how to live. He saw people. He saw people. He loved people. He served people. and he taught people. But you see, it didn't just end there. No, because Jesus had a bigger priority in mind. You see, he was interested in showing us how to live, but even that wouldn't be good enough. That wouldn't be good enough to get us to the level of God. You see, instead, he knew that he had to go to the cross. He knew that he needed to die. And while he was hanging on that cross, Jesus took on the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future. My sin and yours. And the spotless lamb, the only sinless person to ever walk this earth, died for my sake and for yours, as the atoning sacrifice for the sin that we commit daily. And in doing so, he set us free from sin. But the good news doesn't end there, because Jesus didn't stay dead. You see, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And in doing so, not only did he set us free from sin, he also set us free from death and offers us new life, offers us a chance to be with him in eternity. That's God's mission, to save his creation, to win his world back to himself. I think it can be summed up in one verse that I think we all know very well. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I invite you to hear that with fresh ears, because we've become kind of immune to it because we hear it so much. But let's break this down a little bit. Everything comes out of the heart of the Father. The beginning says, for God so loved the world. God's heart of love is the reason why everything happens afterwards. Notice how it doesn't say, for God so judged the world. For God was so angry with the world. No, for God so loved the world that he took action. He did the one thing that could set us free. What was that? He sent his one and only Son. His one and only Son, God himself, sinless, spotless, perfect, to die as the atoning sacrifice for the sins that we all commit. So what's our part in it? What do we have to do? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life with Jesus forever. And all we have to do is have faith in Jesus. Because if the requirement was any higher than that, we'd be screwed. We couldn't do it. That's the good news. That's God's mission. Would you believe me if I told you that we have a part to play in God's mission? And not only do we have a part to play, we're commanded to play a part in God's mission. If you don't believe me, and even if you do, let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. These are Jesus's last words. In fact, the last words in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, in our culture, we do hold last words in high regard, but it's not quite to the level that the ancient audience would have held these final words of Jesus. This is like it. This is the important stuff. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It reads like this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, as we break this one down a little bit, I used to skip over verse 18. When Jesus says, hey, all authority in heaven and on earth, it's like, yeah, I know Jesus, you're God. It's cool. I get it. But when you stop and think about the fact that Jesus chose to say this to his disciples, who now believe because he's resurrected. This is Jesus back from the dead, by the way. They know who he is. They know he's the Messiah and the Son of God. And yet he still chose to say to them, hey guys, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So listen up, because I'm kind of a big deal, and what I'm about to say is really important. Go. Go and make disciples. Out of his authority, he commands us to go and to make disciples. And I think this was a light bulb moment for his 11 disciples that were there, at least the 11 guys. I think this was a light bulb moment because to them, I think the good news to that point, Jesus' saving grace was either just for them or just for the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. But when he says, go and make disciples of all nations, that opens their eyes. Oh my gosh, this good news isn't just for me. I think that's a message that we need to hear in this room today. The good news of Jesus isn't just for you. Yes, it's for you, but it's not just for you. It's for the entire world. So why wouldn't we want to share the thing that saved us? Why wouldn't we want to talk about our God who loves us so much that he was willing to die on our behalf, and all that is required of us is having faith in him? That's good news that we should share with the world, amen? Okay, we're working on it, Lutherans. We're working on it.
Hold on, ask again.
Should I ask again?
Yeah.
All right, okay. That's good news that we should share with the entire world, amen?
Yeah.
All right, Lutherans can do it. All right. I'm sorry, I'm bagging on you. I've been a Lutheran since I was born. I'm right there with you. It's fine. That's why I can make fun of us. So to recap, God's mission to redeem creation, win the world back to himself. In our role in that, have faith in Jesus and go and make disciples. One thing I forgot to touch on, notice how Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. He ends with, and surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Did you know that that promise is still true today? Jesus is still with us here today? Yeah. A few people did, great. If you didn't, we believe in what's called a triune God. God is a Trinity. This is a mind-blowing concept, but it's the fact that we believe in one God, one entity. And that one entity presents itself in three different beings: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These are three unique things, unique entities, and yet they are united as one God. And so a few weeks after Jesus had ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to his disciples. The same Spirit that's alive and working in and through each and every one of us in this room, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And if we believe in the Trinity, then if the Holy Spirit's with us, then so is Jesus, because we believe in one God. So we're not left to do it alone. We're left to do it with Jesus, with the original disciple maker. And that's the best place to turn to figure out, what do we do now? What do we do next? Well, like I said, Jesus, he saw people, but not through the eyes of a human. He saw people through his heart, the heart of God, seeing people in a way that everyone is worthy of love. Everyone is a chosen child of God. And out of that, he loved them. But again, not like a human loves, in a way that only God can love. Unconditionally, No matter how many times they turned their back on him, no matter how many times he was rejected, he died for all people, even those crucifying him, even those mocking him, even Judas who betrayed him. But it doesn't end there, because he served people too. And I want to take a moment to talk about this one. Because you see, we as the church, we like to feel really good about service. Yay, it's what we should do. We should go to Feed My Starving Children once every in a while, and yay, we served. Hooray. Feed My Starving Children is great. I want to make that very clear. But Jesus' service was a little different than that. Because in John chapter 13, Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist. And he stooped to his knees. And he washed the feet of his disciples. Not only is that disgusting, it is the lowest he could have stooped in society. That was the job that nobody wanted. God himself stooped to the position of the lowest slave to serve his disciples. That's humiliating. But that's what he did. And Jesus also taught. He taught a lot. Most of how he taught was just the way he lived his life. The people he spent time with. And yeah, sometimes he taught by asking questions. And sometimes he taught by saying a lot of words. Really good words. So that's our blueprint for making disciples. Seeing people. Not through our eyes, but through the eyes of God. Seeing every single person as worthy, as chosen, as a beloved child of God. But that takes work. That's hard. This includes the person that said really mean things about you not that long ago. The person that could just cut you off in traffic. The neighbor that plays music way too loud, way too late at night. But it doesn't stop there. We're called to love them. Love them to the point of giving up our lives for them. For there is no greater love than this, that a friend would lay down his life for another. Just as Jesus did for us. And yeah, we're called to serve him too. But not just when it's convenient for us. Not just when we feel like it. Not when it's something we're good at. We're called to serve him when it's humiliating for us. When it's hard. When we really don't want to do it. And yeah, we're called to teach too. Just as Jesus did. And I know that makes some of you worried sick. I know. But if I can do it, you can. You know why? I'm a music major. I'm the opposite of a word guy. And if you still don't believe me, one of my favorite quotes of all time, comes from a man named St. Augustine. Now, St. Augustine was an early church bishop, an early church father, and a theologian. He lived around the year 400. And he has this to say. He says, preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary. Preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary. You see, Jesus taught about himself, about the love of God, just by the way he lived his life. And we too are called to do that by seeing people. By loving people, without ever telling them a thing about Jesus, we get to show them who Jesus is. And hopefully, this starts to turn heads. Starts to get people going, wait a minute, there's something different about you. Because there are a lot of people in our culture who need love. The only way that we can show that love is by accepting Jesus's love for ourselves first. And then we get to show them his love. A love that transforms and that changes lives. And then they might ask a question of you. Hey, I noticed that you're just really happy all the time. What is it with you? And then you get an opportunity to share with your words. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 reminds us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared. If you're not prepared, that's okay. But get prepared. Practice. Practice in the mirror. With a spouse, with a parent, with a sibling. Practice with your dog. Your dog can't talk back, so. I'm serious, though. Practice with a trusted friend. That's how you get better. That's how you get prepared. And if you're still not convinced that, yes, even you are called to teach people, you remember a guy named Moses in the Old Testament? Does that ring any bells? Kind of the hero of the Hebrew faith, maybe the most important figure. Do you remember his response to God at the beginning of the book of Exodus when God said, hey, Moses, you're my guy. We're going to overthrow Egypt, and you're going to set my people free. Moses didn't go, all right, let's go. He said, God, you got the wrong guy. Egypt is too big, and I don't word good. I can't talk. And God said, I know. And I'm God. I made the earth that you are standing on. I'm God. Nothing is too big for me. And I'm choosing you because I'm going to use you. Through your weakness, I'm made strong. Moses' response? Nope, can't talk. I don't talk good. Can't choose me. God's response? Too bad, I'm doing it anyway. Moses' response again? No. And God says, fine, Moses, I'll meet you where you're at. Aaron, he's going to be the talker dude. But you're my chosen one. You are going to lead my nation. Most of us know the end of the story. Moses was one of the greatest leaders in the history of the nation of Israel. By the grace of God, not by his words. God knows your excuses for why you can't do this. He knows the sin that's holding you back. He knows your weaknesses. He knows that sometimes you get nervous and you get a little sweaty. And he looks back at you and he says, I know. And I'm God. It's not about you. It's about me. Because through your weakness, I'm made strong. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about joining him on his mission to redeem all of creation. You want a practical step to take on how we can do this? It's all ethereal. It's all way up there. Here's a practical step. Imagine that I went up to your neighbor's house. Okay, I went to the neighbors on either side of you, knocked on their door and said, hi, excuse me, I just have one question for you. The people next door, the people that go to that church, do they love you? If their response isn't an immediate, oh yeah, they love me. I know that they love me. Then that's where we can start. Because yeah, Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And yes, that means literally everybody. But it also means your literal neighbor. I know that sometimes for me, I get so out there in the, okay, I'm called to love everybody, that I forget to love the people that I'm right around. So that's where we're going to start this morning. Start with your neighbor. Spend time with them. Ask them to come over for dinner. Bring over a hot dish. We're in the Midwest. We can do that. Maybe when it's a little cooler. It's like 90 today, so. Heck, maybe you're going to Manitou Days on Thursday. Invite them to come with you. Spend time with them and just get to know them. Don't have any agenda. Just spend time with them and show them what it means to be loved by Jesus. Because preach the gospel at all times, but you don't have to use words. Only use words when it's necessary. And remember, above all else, that surely Jesus is with us to the very end of the age. He's with us through his Holy Spirit. And if we try to do it without him, we will fail. Guarantee it. But thanks be to God that he chooses sinners like us to go and make disciples. That's the good news this morning. Even in our sin, we can still be used by God to go and make disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Lord, our God, maker of all things, knower of all things, we come before you and recognize that we are nothing. We recognize that we've done things, we've thought things, we haven't done things that you want us to do. And God, we ask for your forgiveness. And thank you and praise you that your love and your mercy is enough even for us, no matter what we've done. That your promise is that you will forgive us and you have forgiven us for everything that we've confessed. So God, we ask for your help. We ask for your help to join with you on mission. A mission of winning back this world to you. Because if we do it on our own, we're going to really screw it up. So Holy Spirit, we ask for more of you. Would you fill us with courage? Fill us to overflowing with love. And also fill us with grace, because even with you, we're going to make mistakes. And we're sorry. But Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. So Spirit, once again, we ask for courage. We ask for love. Lord, have your way. Show us where you're calling us. Show us the people that you're calling us to. All the thanks, all the praise, and all the glory to you forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.